Okay, so I'm very glad to be here. One of the things you'll notice that's a little different about these slides is they have a bit of a border around them. I need to let you know that this, because this is actually a PDF and not a PowerPoint. The reason I explain that to you is because if you get here late like I did and try to use your jump drive at the last minute, and you're using a Mac instead of a PC, it's a cautionary tale. If you want the actual PowerPoint, submit your PowerPoints earlier than I did. So what I'm going to talk about today really is just how this coalition in South Phoenix that I'm involved with, I actually chair something I'll talk about. It's called the South Phoenix Healthy Kids Partnership, how we've begun to use GIS mapping as a tool in some of both our program targeting and a little bit of preliminary work in terms of policy. I have no relationships to disclose. Just a little bit, how many of you are actually working on childhood obesity? Okay, so it's about maybe 20%. This is not news to any of you or anyone in the room that childhood obesity obviously is a huge problem in the United States. The surveillance for the obesity is underdeveloped. I don't think we know quite as much about where and when it's happening and why. And sustainable improvement really depends on both physical activity, nutrition, programs and policies. So just a little bit about, for context, a little bit about the South Phoenix Healthy Kids Partnership. Formed back in 2006, it's coordinated out of a federally qualified health center called Mountain Park Health Center in South Phoenix, very large health center. At the clinic is probably, there are say, and maybe about 30 full-time providers. So it's a very large clinic. The work that we've been doing in childhood obesity has been funded by the State Health Department, the Arizona Department of Health Services, really to do two things: to gather data to better understand the prevalence of obesity, and also to conduct policy and educational interventions. So a little bit more about South Phoenix. Fairly large area, about 100,000 people in this. It's probably too large to call a neighborhood. Relatively young, about 40% of the population is 0 to 19 years of age. Mostly people of color, 80% are either Hispanic or Black or both. Very low educational attainment, about 50% over the age of 25 years. Don't have a high school diploma as compared to 17% in Maricopa County as a whole. Single parents are high, median income is far below the county median income, and 26% poverty rate for this particular area. So for us as a coalition, and we've been around now, as I said, since 2006, we still struggle with the question of targeting our relatively limited resources, both in terms of programs and policies related to intervention. So one of the things that we did was to establish a BMI registry within the clinic that I mentioned. Mountain Park Health Center has a very large pediatrics department, probably sees about 10,000 kids a year. We decided to go ahead and start entering BMI with some other data on these kids as they came through, mostly for well-child visits. The data fields that we decided to enter included address, date of birth, gender, height, weight, body mass index percentile. And so from 2007 through 2009, we've had over 4,000 entries into the database. What we discovered, just purely in terms of asking the question, well, just how overweight or not is this particular population? And again, we're talking about only the children who go through Mountain Park Health Center in South Phoenix. But you see that the top two bars in each of those larger bars are either overweight or obese. And so you'll see about 50% among 6 to 11-year-olds, actually it's about 58% of the kids are either obese or overweight. I think the national average is closer to 30% for both obesity and overweight. So what we knew, and the physicians knew this years ago, that this was a very highly obese and overweight population that they were seeing in the pediatrics clinic. And that data alone was very useful to us. We took that, it was actually part of the data that we were able to bring to the State Health Department and other entities, either one, to get additional funding, or two, to bring them into our coalition. So in and of itself, I think it was helpful to know just simple prevalence rates. And then the other, we compared the BMI registry actually against a medical records survey that we had done 4 years previously. And so we also knew that for those particular age ranges, the actual rate of obesity was increasing over time, which of course was worrisome given how high they were to begin with. But then we took the next step, and it was somewhat serendipitous. I can't say that we had a plan and we were going to use GIS from the beginning. We really didn't think about that, but we realized that we had, and I mentioned address and BMI, we had enough information on each of those 4,100 entries to go ahead and map that. And so what we, in the South Phoenix area really is, well, it's this area right, where'd that arrow go? It's right in here. So we went ahead and we geocoded and mapped the information. And what we found was somewhat surprising. With as many kids that were either overweight or obese, our expectation would be there would be certain areas that would be completely red. The darker red is the higher levels of obesity. But in fact, it was quite patchy even down to a block group level. And so when we drilled down and looked at individual, I think these are actually block groups and probably four squares equals a census tract, that there were significant differences in obesity rates, even between neighborhoods and within census tracts. So what is the value of that to us? Again, for a coalition that was really trying to focus on an area that was very large, both in terms of land mass and in terms of population, what it will allow us to do is target some of our programs a little bit more precisely, kind of things we're doing right now, walking school bus programs, community gardens. In theory, we can look at those darker red areas and maybe look at some of the schools in those areas and target our programs a little more precisely. Same thing with community garden programs. Farmers markets as well, and physical activity programs. Each of these things we're involved with within the coalition. But had been fairly dispersed, but now can be a little more precise. The other piece that we wanted to look at to try to mine this data a little bit, to leverage the information a little bit more, was sort of the question of policy and environment. So what I did is took and overlaid grocery store locations over a square. I think that was about 13 square miles, either 9 or 13 square miles. In the South Phoenix area, and just look for the sheer number of grocery stores, asking a question of, in a real simplistic visual way, you know, are there food deserts in South Phoenix? And in this case, I wasn't looking so much at where they're placed, but just the sheer number. We haven't gotten down to density and other kinds of analyses, but we just wanted to take a visual look first to see what was going on. So the question is, well, is that good or is that bad? How many residents are there per large grocery store? We haven't done that yet. But what I did also was to look at the same size area in an upper income area in Central Phoenix called the Biltmore Camelback area, and also overlaid with major grocery stores. And you can see there are far more grocery stores in an area of upper income. Did the same thing with convenience stores. Again, taking data, I think it was from the Corporation Commission, and looking at actually three different types of convenience stores. Looked at a very similar area again, and literally sort of looked at the spread and the sheer number. And in fact found, and when comparing that against the upper income area that I had shown previously, that actually there were far more convenience stores in the upper income area, which was surprising and not necessarily consistent with what you might read in the literature. Not answering any questions for us necessarily, but posing the question of, you know, how are convenience stores, particularly in the South Phoenix areas, linked as a factor to childhood obesity or obesity in general? So again, this is really preliminary. It's just for us raising questions rather than answering the questions at this point. Did the same thing with fast food restaurants. I just searched for, I think it was McDonald's, Burger King, and Jack in the Box. Took another slice. I didn't cherry pick. I basically took an average slice of South Phoenix. Again, just to see spatially and in terms of sheer number, how many fast food restaurants there were in South Phoenix. And once again, just compared that against the same size area in the Camelback area. And you go, you notice there were three in South Phoenix and maybe about four in the Camelback area. So not a disproportionately different, or not a significantly different number of fast food stores between the two areas. Again, not telling us too much, but probably raising more questions than it's telling us at this point. So the other piece of information I wanted to look at was access to recreational opportunities. And the little green areas, and I'm glad they show up pretty well, I wasn't certain whether they would, are parks. So in this particular situation, I just use this one map to look at the sort of, you could probably look at park access in lots of different ways, but just the sheer number and maybe the acreage if we had more time to do more analysis. But again, trying to determine whether there is a problem related to access to recreation. And you can see sort of near the Phoenix area on the top right, there seem to be a greater number of parks. We haven't dug down nearly that deeply yet, but it raises a question for us in terms of access to physical activity opportunities. So that's really just a slice, a thumbnail sketch, I think, of some of the overlays that certainly people who are a little more savvy about GIS and mapping can do. The other areas that certainly I think should be explored would be public transportation access, sidewalks, public safety. I think safety is a real issue. South Phoenix is a very high crime area as compared to the Camelback area. May or may not be having an influence on whether parents let their kids go out, probably is. Traffic calming in terms of speed bumps. There's certainly lots of crime rates, lots of ways to think about what are the other factors related to obesity, what are the policy implications related to those factors. So data limitations, and they're quite significant. The BMI data was based on relatively small, non-random sampling. This is data that comes out of a major clinic in the South Phoenix area, but obviously the kids who might be coming to that clinic might be very different than the kids generally who reside in that area. We had to make some assumptions in that vein. There isn't any BMI data available for the comparison area. We're the only area that I'm aware of in the Phoenix metropolitan area that has the kind of data that can be used to do a little bit of the obesity gradations. And then, as the previous speaker talked about, there's far more analysis that could be done related to rates per capita and other types of statistical analyses that can be done related to things like retail outlets and fast food restaurants. So for us, at this point, I think related to the mapping, in terms of programmatic interventions, it could be highly useful to us. It will allow us to be a little more efficient, I think, in our targeting geographically of programs. The other information related to policy is much more preliminary, but at least helps us start asking and hopefully answering questions that may aid eventually in developing healthier policies in the South Phoenix area. And that's it. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. One or two questions? Yes?
Hi, Dawn Jacobs in Los Angeles. I work in quality improvement and evaluation, and we're starting to use GIS both for assessing how well we deliver our services in addition to finding the high-risk areas in the county. So I'm just curious if there are plans, now that you have your baseline distribution, if then you will use mapping to show where your public health interventions are, either with the health department or community-based organizations. And then over time, then show how you're getting improvements in the built environment through using your strategically designing and implementing.
Right. So if you heard the question, I think it is whether this type of mapping, particularly related, I think, to the BMI, can be used as an evaluation tool to track the efficacy of interventions over time.
Right. So like to put on a map, like here's where we're doing our outreach for policy, and here's where we're doing our outreach for educating. And then sort of seeing then the influence of the interventions by seeing BMI change over like 10 to 5 years.
Right, right. I think that's a key. Over maybe 5 to 8 years, certainly short term, it would be probably very difficult to see the BMI changes. With the caveats, without population-based data and only using clinic-based information, whether even the changes that you end up seeing are related more to the changes among the clinic population versus changes actually in BMI within the population. That was the other piece that I didn't mention, is we're not looking so much at this point trying to geographically look at grocery stores and doing that little radius and their kids outside the area of the grocery store, you know, potentially have higher BMI, you know, sort of causal relationship, as much as targeting resource right now. But potentially down the road, it could be used for evaluation with some caveats, or certainly with more population-based data, it would be more powerful. Yeah. No. So the question was, in framing the two different neighborhoods, whether there was any analysis actually at all of the demographics, much less the question of whether the BMI sort of rates were similar or different. And the answer to that is no. I just did that more as an example, just for the purpose literally of this presentation. But I think if we were going to drill down further to actually compare, we would certainly have to be looking, if we didn't have the BMI data for the comparison neighborhood, certainly some type of analysis of the demographics would be important.
And my other question was, when you look at parks in the affluent neighborhood, were they comparable to the study population?
The question was in terms of parks related to the due, and I actually didn't look at the park access from one to the other. It was just the fast food, convenience, and grocery stores. But that would be obviously a key thing to do as well. Okay.
Well, thank you.